should act, which is very important. And as we think of our daily activities, there's one thing in particular that's kind of in my face lately. Maybe you all don't realize it, and it's kind of covered over for us, but it's there all the time. If you go in your house, or you go in your car, or you go to your work, or you go anywhere, pretty much in this material world, there are warning signs. Look underneath your medicine cabinet, your buckets, your little plastic bags for suffocation. You can look your appliances, careful of shock. Road hazards on the roads all the time, warning, bridge freezes, when it gets wet or whatever it is up north. So many warnings everywhere. Warnings, be careful of that, financial, you know, investment. So many different things. And so I thought I'd discuss a little bit about the warnings, because they are in our life. And it's because this place is very dangerous. This material world is not a safe place. There's danger from within our bodies, from without, from up above. There's dangers from the outside, when we're inside, even within our own minds. So it's very important that we take heed of some of these dangers. But how many times have you seen warning signs and not heeded to them? Anybody? Has anyone been sorry that they didn't? I think if you think back, you'll think that, wow, why didn't I just do what it said, not, you know. So this is important. It's an important thing to discuss on why we don't take heed of these things and what some of the different warning signs are. Reason why we don't like warning signs are because they restrict us. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be restricted in any way. Especially like if you plan on going on a camping trip, or you're planning something, going somewhere, something's supposed to happen, and then, sorry, you know, there's riptides, can't go swimming, right? Or thunderstorms, you have to get out of the water. My granddaughter said they were at the little camp, Kalakala or whatever, and said lightning, got to get out, so they were out for almost an hour. Real bummer, right? So it can be a real bummer, all these warning signs that you can't do what you want, because we don't like to be restricted. Right? Even by rules and regulations, anything. Because we think we're the supreme enjoyer. And we don't want to hinder ourselves. We don't want to be a unhappy camper. We want to enjoy all the time. So this is one of the reasons why this confinement, these restrictions are something that we have to deal with, and how to deal with them. The scriptures also confirm that this material world is very dangerous. It says that there's danger at every step. And ultimately, of course, there's death for all of us. As we just heard, this person was on his way to get some help and didn't even make it to that city. He had to stop and was halted. The soul, though, the soul is not affected by all these warning signs. The soul is inside and wondering, why am I here in this dangerous place? Why is it that I this is all going on? I'm not even from this place. My soul is from a Vaikuntha, a place where there's no anxiety, there's no restrictions, there's only pleasure. Pleasure, not peril. It's because the material world is just a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. There's unlimited pleasure, in here there's unlimited troubles. The soul is actually hankering to go back to that state of existence. We're all wanting not to be restricted here in the material world, and especially don't want to lose our material life. We want that spiritual freedom. But there's some problems. And so we have to understand that we need some advice. Here in the material world, we get in such illusion that we don't know which is up and which is down, what is pleasure and what is pain, what is real pleasure. And so we get turned around, and so we need to get out of this bewilderment. And so we can turn to advice. And Srimad Bhagavad Gita is a wonderful place to go to. It gives the greatest solutions to all of our problems. And so there's one verse, I'll just read a little bit of it. This is in the chapter about karma yoga. It says, there are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. Purport. Those who are in Krishna consciousness are naturally reluctant to engage in material sense gratification. But those who are not in such consciousness should follow the rules and regulations of the revealed scriptures. Unrestricted sense enjoyment is the cause of material engagement. But one who follows the rules and regulations of the revealed scriptures does not become entangled by the sense objects. And then further it says, but attachment to Krishna consciousness or acting always in the loving service of Krishna detaches one from all kinds of sensory activities. So this sounds like a lot of restriction. I'm not able to do so much here in the material world. I have to be very careful. This is a warning. Because I can become very attached and bound up into this material world and have to come back again and again. And not reach that ultimate goal of freedom for the soul. So upon hearing this, we can understand that this is good advice and that we should actually take it as a serious caution, because no one really wants to come back to this material world again, although some people think that this is the only life and live it up while you can. But unfortunately, that is wishful thinking. We're very vulnerable to this temporary existence, and we get very caught up in it. So here it's describing that, you know, follow some rules and regulations and gradually you won't even want to engage in all these material things. You won't want this attachment. You want to serve Krishna. But even we see that trying to follow these rules and regulations is not the easiest thing, right? We are vulnerable. And it's described, even in this purport, that there can be peril even on the royal roads. Even though we maintain our spiritual life, still there can be fall down. But the real process of achieving perfection in this lifetime is to become attached to Krishna through service. And so therefore we should make it our most important business to figure out how I can engage all my senses in the service of Krishna. And so there's many warnings to not go there, to not go out there in the material world and get entangled. But just like on the warning stickers, if we're riding around and we see this, you know, don't go there or don't do this, a lot of us, like we admit, we just go right past it. We're on our merry, happy way going somewhere. We have our business to do, right? And we just look at it and we say, I'm in the exclusive club. It doesn't apply to me. It's not for me. It's for the person behind me. But I have some important business to do in this life. It doesn't apply to me. So this is a very dangerous situation. And it's really better to be safe than sorry and have someone tell you, I told you so. Don't you hate that when someone says that? You know, because you knew in your mind that you really shouldn't do it. And then there's sometimes when we see these warning signs in the material world and we think, let me quickly sort it out. This looks like it could be serious. Maybe I should consider it. Or we might rate it, doesn't look so bad. Oh, I might go to hell for eternity. Or I might go to jail, no problem. Or, I might get cancer. Or, maybe I'll just get a stomach ache by this. So we can rate it, and then we make our decision, right? Our judgment clicks in, and we think, should I do this or shouldn't I do that? But many times our judgment is wrong. So we should always be on that safe side. I had a problem for many, many years, so many years, about wearing seatbelts. I really couldn't stand seatbelts from the day one when you had to wear them. I just wouldn't wear them. You know, I'd see a cop and I'd hang it over my shoulder. Or I'd think, my side goes this way like the seatbelt, so they'll think it's a... I had all these, you know, concoctions of that, you know, you're hanging on there, you're driving with finger holding, and then as soon as it's gone, you let go and it pops back. You know, choked me on my neck beads, and it was just very uncomfortable. And so I was pretty much convinced I wasn't going to wear seatbelts no matter what. And I took my, it was a risk, very, risk. Most of these warnings are for our protection. The authorities, it protects them, number one. If you don't put a sign on your door, bad dog, stay away, and somebody gets bit, then you might find yourself in the clink, right? So these warnings are there for our protection, but I just couldn't surrender. I just couldn't surrender to that thing. And so we can think in our minds how many things within our spiritual life I just can't surrender to, right? Can you think of anything that you just can't surrender to? Your temple president or this rule or that regulation. But then I got an enticement from my mother. She says, I'm going to buy your brand new car, but you have to promise me to wear your seatbelts. I said, okay. And I did. I've always worn them ever since. So Krishna also, he has enticements. He's trying to say, please, please come back to me. I want to protect you. I have these rules and regulations for you because I love you. I want you to be protected. It's not for my own good, but it's for both of us. We can come again together in a loving relationship. So he's very serious about protecting us, and we have to be very serious about becoming dependent on him and have great faith. Because you can see that the more faith you have in something, the more they feel like, I need to protect you. You're depending on them, so therefore they feel that responsibility. I must take care of that person. Just like a small child is totally dependent on the mother. And the mother is always freaking out. Where's my child? Is everything okay? Is it out there in the rain? Is it going to get sick or whatever? So this faith in Krishna has to get stronger and stronger. To the point of, like, in Vrindavan, there's a snake. And they see this snake, big snake. Yesterday in the permaculture, we found a little teeny snake. And quickly someone looked it up on their little smartphone and said, oh, it's okay, it's not a bad snake. And so the kids were all playing with it. So but in Vrindavan, a big agasura comes, right? And they think, looks like a pretty dangerous snake. Pretty big, too. But I have full faith. Even if we go and play with him, go right in his mouth, Krishna's going to save us. Krishna will protect us. And so what they do, they had a great old time. They all marched in, and Krishna's going, oh, my gosh. And so he has to figure out how to save his friends. So this faith, realizing that Krishna will protect us if we always think of him and we're on his good list. So spiritually, he wants to protect us. And that exchange of dependency and the exchange of him protecting us, it actually grows into a relationship that is eternal, unlike the other relationships in the material world. So we can realize that to get rid of these miseries in this material world, we have to surrender at some point. We have to reach that point where we're totally attached to Krishna, and that everything I'm doing is for his pleasure and not mine. That's what's describing here, that these stumbling blocks, the main stumbling block is that I'm thinking of myself and I'm not thinking of Krishna. So there's also some other warning signs. They're actually called caution signs, like the yellow light, slow down, be attention, there's caution up ahead, there's something, the bridge is out or something like that. And therefore we have time to think and to make some judgment. It might happen, it might be something serious or it might not. And that's like human form of life, is that now we're here and we're seeing that, looks like there might be some danger up ahead. And so we have to be very careful. The animals, they don't get any caution signs. There's danger up ahead for them, for sure. But they don't have the chance, they don't have the responsibility of deciding whether I should maybe make some decision in this regard and not do that. Maybe not follow this rule, maybe follow this rule. Maybe surrender, maybe not surrender. So this human form of life is a big caution. And we should take it very seriously. In the Vedic scriptures, there's many great saints and sages that give us some precautions. Even a five-year-old boy, Prahlad Maharaj, what did he say? He said, now, while you're young, get it together in your spiritual life. Give up this sense activity. Learn how to please Krishna. Come on, quit playing. Let's chant Hare Krishna, right? That's how the story goes. So we have that choice. You know, we can take it seriously. Unfortunately, youth is described as it's blind and deaf to the warnings of these big obstacles, this mortality that's upcoming for them. They don't really realize. But even us old folks, you know, even Maharaj Yudhisthira is saying, the most wonderful thing is that even though we see our God brothers and God sisters leaving, I'm not on the list. I'm in that exclusive club. I'm going to live forever. I'm healthy now, see? Even at my old age, nothing's going to happen. So we have to take that caution. Even nature is a caution sign, blinking, right? Take a look in the mirror. Anybody that's my age, if you dare, look in the mirror closely. If that isn't a blinking light, you know, every day it looks like, what's going on, right? So we have to realize that. There are great saints like Maharaj Parikshit who found out he had 7 days. He took that warning sign. Okay, I'm going to be out of here soon. Immediately. He didn't worry about his family. He didn't worry about his kingdom. He was in charge of everything in the whole world. He didn't have time to sit down and make a will or figure out who's going to take over my administration post or anything. He just said, sit down here, concentrate, become fixed on becoming Krishna conscious. It was Katbanda Maharaj. He did some nice service for the demigods, and he got a benediction that I could ask for anything I wanted. And he said, I just want to know when I'm going to die. And they said, guess what? You've got 2 minutes, or however many seconds he had. He goes, whoa. And he surrendered in 2 seconds. So he took it very seriously. And so every day we need some reminders. Because Prabhupada says, we're not scared enough of Maya. Believe it or not, we're not scared enough. You would think we would be. We're given so much responsibility to make these decisions, and we see it happening around us, but still, we think, no, the dictates of the senses are so strong, I have to follow them, right? I have to. But we're given this human form of life, we have to be very careful with it. Just like if someone gives you a smartphone, right? But there's a restriction. And because you're supposed to use your intelligence, you don't text while you drive, right? You have to be smart, smarter than your smartphone. That I've given this thing, I'm not going to text while I drive because it's dangerous for everybody. So in the same way, we're given this human form, and we should be a little scared that I might lose it. I might end up the cat or a dog. Actually, it's described in the scripture that a civilization that is just running after all the temporary artificial necessities of life is actually destroying that whole lifetime, and they're going to come back as cats and dogs. So someone might say, I've had prasadam. I'm guaranteed a human form, so no problem, right? But if you would still, you want a human form? No thanks. We're still not totally protected. We could end up, who knows where, in a human form next lifetime. We don't want that to happen. So we have to realize that if we don't follow warning signs, even in the material world, sometimes they put a law on it, right? For like seatbelts, there's a law. Actually, that was another little wake up because a friend of mine got pulled over and didn't have a seatbelt on Alachua. Got a big old fine, right? Real big fine. So we have to realize that there are laws that are there if we don't follow them. Sometimes we get thrown in jail or we get fined. Just like Lakshmani is real concerned because she has to go to this court thing where you have to be a judge, what do you call it? Jury duty, right. And so this is the second time she's not here and she's had to call in frantically and say, I'm not there, and she, because she's afraid that they actually come to your door and give you a fine, or like going to arrest you if you don't show up. So, so there are some laws about these things, but and karma, those laws, all the things that you are doing wrong, you're not following, you're avoiding all these warning signs, and you're unrestricted in your sense gratification is going down, and you can't push the delete button. You can't get rid of them that way. But Krishna is the spiritual lawmaker, and he says that if you surrender to me, if you learn this art of actually satisfying me and pleasing me, I can erase all that past karma. I can erase all those things you did wrong, and you can actually come back to me. So this is a great benediction that we should take advantage of, because if we do, then we'll be much happier. I was actually, after I put my seatbelt on and everything, I was no longer like looking all around worrying, you know, police goes by, no problem, you know. And so I'm actually much happier because I surrendered to that. And we find the more we do surrender to the things that we don't like, even in Krishna consciousness, the happier we become, the more peaceful we become. And ultimately, when we get that relationship with Krishna all established again, that'll be the extreme happiness that we've always been looking for. But we need reminders daily. And so we need a wake-up call. And so if you set your alarm clock on around 4 o'clock, that's a good time to wake up. And you can have your wake-up call and come here to the temple, because it's a very nice program. We get reminded, first of all, of the spiritual master, how fortunate we are to have him, who's very nicely and kindly and giving us these rules and regulations to help us to go over these stumbling blocks and to help us control our senses and help us please Krishna, because he knows what Krishna likes. And then after Mangal Arati, we chant our japa. It's so nice just to touch Krishna again, keep in touch, and discuss with him about our problems and pray to him that we can increase our service to him more, that he'll accept our service, our menial little endeavor to serve. And so the whole morning program is designed to get us to the point where the rest of the day is pretty much smooth sailing. The stumbling blocks don't seem so high, and we're able to recognize them and avert them and see the road ahead very clearly. But, sometimes we're a little bit stubborn. I was on the way back from the Clearwater Rath Yatra. And as usual, you get kind of tired on that boring road from Tampa. And, you know, I was kind of fighting sleep and everything. And then all of a sudden, I see sirens, I see lights, I see TV things, I see big right in front of me, you know. And it was a horrific accident. It was on the news the next day and everything, you know. White sheets to hide everything. And it was really bad. But it completely woke me up. And I was very attentive the rest of the way home. So we don't want to have something like that happen to keep us awake and to keep us serious in Krishna consciousness. We should take heed of these wonderful instructions and realize that this process is made so simple for us. I mean, singing and dancing and eating, I mean, can't get much easier than that. So we should take caution. And recently I've been reading and noticing there's a lot of cautions that Srila Prabhupada says in his books over and over again. It's enough that actually forms a whole book in itself. And that's the caution about shreyas and prayas, about, like, even here, our senses want something for the immediate action. We don't want the warning side because we don't want the restriction, because we want our enjoyment now. Prayas. And then shreyas is a little more intelligence. We want the long-term benefit. And just like this permaculture we did yesterday, we're not going to get, our generation isn't probably going to get the fruit, literally. We're not going to see the benefit, the forest and everything. But we're doing it for the long haul, for the shreyas, for the next generation. And for the one after that, and for the one after that. And I see that Prabhupada many times is actually mentioning in the scriptures that we should, we aren't seeing the warning signs in the Bhagavatam about that this material energy is very temporary, and that this economy and this lifestyle that we've developed is very artificial and very temporary. And that we aren't taking seriously his instructions over and over and over and over and over again about simple living and high thinking. And so I've taken it very seriously and try to understand it and see what little teeny bit I can do about it. But, you know, it's one of those things that you say, again, it's not for me. I'm really comfortable. And besides, technology is going to fix it. We've ruined the planet. Technology will fix it. Economy, technology, everything's going to be fine. It's just all good. All the rates are going to go back up. Everything's going to be hunky-dory, right? So this is not using the intelligence of the predictions and the warnings in the Bhagavatam and of Prabhupada's plea for us to actually to not become so dependent on these technological gadgets and gadgets and in our lifestyle that we're so attached to that we don't want to give up. So we as the pioneers and everything, we should take it seriously that we have to figure out how to implement so many of Prabhupada's very encouraging instructions and ideas of how to make our lifestyle more simple, our farms more productive, and be able to realize that it's for our protection. It's very difficult out there in the material world to have to interact all the time, whereas we could have more of our own internal workings in a self-sufficient community. So you might want to consider those facts and maybe take up some of the chances that we have to implement them now. It's an investment, and it might not give us immediate satisfaction, but knowing that it will help the future generations, they can actually learn how to live more simply and depend more on Krishna. And so we should take these cautions and these warnings, all of them in the Bhagavatam, very seriously. And in this way, eventually we'll be able to embrace Krishna. We'll be able to make it back to Krishna. Otherwise, we might get bumped out of our seat on these stumbling blocks as we go along on the road. So we have to be very careful. And there's one last warning I want to leave you with, and it's by a great Acharya, Yamunacharya, I believe. And he said that don't go by the Yamuna on a moonlight night, because Lord Shyamasundara in his threefold bending form, who's more beautiful than the shining moon, and with a peacock feather in his hand and is playing his beautiful flute, that if you go by and see him, that you'll be attracted, so attracted that all your attachments for your family and for your riches and for your beauty, everything will be taken away, and you'll just be left with that attachment for Krishna, as it's describing in this purport. So, if you don't want to go back and be able to associate with the Supreme Lord, then don't chant Hare Krishna. Don't go see Krishna in the temple. Don't do these things. But if you do, if you utilize that intelligence and then really embrace this process of Krishna consciousness, because it will give us the pleasure that we're looking for. So we need to slow down, take some precautionary action. And I think we can learn a lot from that and be more inspired to go out and tell others how they can also slow down your human form of life. Don't go so fast, because you're headed to animal life again. Slow down, you know. Let's go back to our spiritual life. Free the soul from all the suffering. So maybe someone would like to contribute something. Maybe tell a story where they wish they had heeded a warning, maybe even in spiritual life. Yes, Sugata?
This is just a little story, because you were talking about being satisfied with
Just wait 1 second, it's coming.
And the topic was prasadam. So Prabhupada was saying how we all came to him because of prasadam. He said, even you, Abhiram. Abhiram was a temple president, so I was like, wow, even Abhiram, you know. And so one guest raised their hand and said, well, so that is it true that if you take prasadam that you're guaranteed the human form of life? And so Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that's true. And everyone was like, Haribo, yay! You know, everyone was like so celebratory, you know. So then when it calmed down a little bit, Srila Prabhupada said, there are some species of monkeys that are considered human. And it was very sobering, you know, the whole crowd became very sober, so I thought that was interesting.
So don't just rely on that. Somebody else over here, Chivakam Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. In devotion to Krishna, we have a lot of love involved in devotion to Krishna. At the same time, do we need to have any fear of Lord Krishna in the devotional service? And if we don't have that fear in the devotional service or devotion, what's the effect of that?
Well, Prabhupada said we're not fearful enough of Krishna's servant, of Mayadevi. It's described that mostly the non-devotees are fearful of Krishna because they see him as death. I don't know, I'm a little fearful of Krishna sometimes. I feel like he's looking over my shoulder, especially if I'm about to do something wrong. So it's a little healthy, I think, to be a little bit scared, but it shouldn't hinder our love for Krishna. Can anyone think of a pastime where someone's scared of Krishna who is a devotee?
Arjuna was scared of him when he showed him the universal form.
Okay, he doesn't say.
I think Akrura was fearful of Krishna, so he ran away.
Okay, anything else? Yes. Right. Even Lakshmi was afraid of her husband. Right. So yes, there's times when you can be fearful of Krishna.
Krishna's like a lion who's very fearful to the miscreants, but the lion cub is not afraid of him at all. And in the pastime of Lord Nrsingadev, even all the devotees were afraid of Nrsingadev, but because Prahlad had uniquely taken shelter of the Lord, he was the only one who was able to approach him.
Okay. Yes, Sugata? Oh yeah, Lord Indra, he was shaking in his boots, right? So sometimes it's good to be a little afraid, I guess, of Krishna. But our dominance should be that we are simply trying to pray and realize our position as being begging him to accept us. You have something else?
You know, she prayed for difficulties to come because she realized when she was in difficulties, when she remembered Krishna and when she took shelter of him. But and that Krishna is also, you know, his Hari, he who takes away. So it's like sometimes when you hear, the closer you get, the more, you know, the more advanced you get, Krishna takes, you know. That's a little, that can be a little daunting, I think.
But I find that chanting takes away a lot of fear of, in general, of this perilous material world. When we chant, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where, like, you just, all you can do, there's nothing else to do, you're in a fearful place, and you just chant to Lord Nrsingadev or something like that, and then somehow or other everything happens so, all right. So we really need to realize that our shelter really is in the holy name, because Krishna is present that way, and we should never have fear of chanting. In any circumstance, we can always chant Hare Krishna. Always. Yes, not too late. Right here.
Thank you for your class. Very nice. I was thinking of a story of Srila Prabhupada when you're talking about simple living, how he wasn't enamored by most of us are running after opulence. And there was a room conversation and several people were coming in and one person brought a very nice watch. And Srila Prabhupada took his watch off and gave it to somebody and put that watch on. And it was maybe, you know, it was a nice watch. And then a short time later, somebody else brought a watch in, and it was a Rolex. So he took that watch off, and he put the Rolex watch on. And then a short time later, in the same gathering, a person brought a third watch. And it was like a $100 Seiko. It was a crappy watch. And Prabhupada took that Rolex watch off and gave it to somebody and put that watch on.
So he has a proper mentality. I've seen the importance of simplicity. And our devotion is what counts. Actually, he was seeing the devotion of those devotees giving it to him, not the thing. So that's what I got out of that. Anything else? Okay, we can engage in taking nice prasadam and chanting more here in the temple. Hare Krishna.